Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome everyone, and I hope that you are having an amazing afternoon. I do want to say Happy New Year. We're in our new year. Gosh, I hope that everybody had great holidays, and thank you so much for restarting your day here in a positive way on the Kim Pagano Show. Sherry, how are you?
Fantastic, and so happy to be back at work. I took some time out to grieve and take care of my dad and his passing, and just such a gift to be back at work and doing what I love.
Yeah, and thank you to a lot of our listeners that called up and really just shared their thoughts and prayers with you.
So beautiful.
Yeah, and Tom, how's it going?
Everything's going well in the new year for Saturday.
There you go. I do want to remind everybody that we'd love to hear from you on Facebook. If you're on there, we have lots of things that we give away there too. And that's Kim Pagano Show. That's our page. Also, you can now listen to us on, Tom, do you want to tell everybody?
You can tune in to the Kim Pagano Show online now, dynamictalkradio.com. That is dynamictalkradio.com. The show will air every Saturday, 6 a.m., 2 p.m. on dynamictalkradio.com.
There you go. And that is where we bring the brighter side of life. And we love to have you listen, learn, and laugh with us. So today, our show is all about the brighter side of recovery, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And our first guest this afternoon is the CEO of Evolve Treatment Centers, Mendy Barron. And he's passionate about advocate for teens in the fields of mental health and addiction. Also joining us is Michelle Weber, and she's a psychotherapist for a life coach and addiction specialist with over 25 years of experience. Also, Karen Strang Allen, about her story, will be featured in the second edition of Unwavering Strength. And that book is about stories to inspire you through challenging times. So again, I'm so glad that you're here. Tom, we always do things that we are promoting and giving away. Can you talk about some of our giveaways?
We do have Camelot, and that is at the Fred Cavalli Theater, January 15th through the 18th. So 15, 16, 17, 18, that's right. We're going to roll along with those and the show at the Granada in Santa Barbara. That's on the 20th and 21st of January. We celebrate the last 5 years, a new Rubicon Theater production. The last 5 years, Jason Robert Brown's emotionally powerful, intimate pop musical. That's a real big hit about two New Yorkers. You can't wait to see it, I'm sure, because it is the Rubicon Theater. We'll have tickets for that, along with Stomp, my personal favorite, in Thousand Oaks at the Fred Cavalli Theater, percussion and dancing at its best, and finally the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library with amazing automobiles, the ultimate car exhibit that runs all the way through May 1st. So those are our big, big prizes. Very nice, from plays to cars, and also doing a little stomping.
There you go. Also, you didn't mention, but we also have Holiday Ice Rink at the Lakes in Thousand Oaks, and you can call to win a pair of tickets to that. So what I'm going to do is let's start off with our phone number here, 419-0008, 419-0008. All you have to do is call us, leave us your name and your number, and one of the team members from the Kim Pagano Show will get back with you. I love hearing and getting everybody's messages out there. Also, we mentioned a word during our morning show, 6 to 7 right here, and if you heard that word, give us a call and let us know, because you will be entered to win a gift certificate to Lures, and they are all over the place and a really great restaurant. So I'd love to share that with you. Let's do this. Let's give a couple pairs of tickets right now to the Holiday Ice Rink at the Lakes in Thousand Oaks, and call us right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. And let's bring our first guest on. Mendy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Good, thank God. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And thank you for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Sure. Well, my name is Mendy Barron, and I am the CEO of Evolve Treatment Centers. We offer treatment for teenagers who are struggling with mental health and addiction issues.
And where is Evolve Treatment Center?
We've got a few. We have locations in Los Angeles. We have locations in Topanga, which is near Woodland Hills. And we also have two locations in Ojai, which is in your territory.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So perfect. Okay, great.
What is the name of the one in Topanga? Hi, Mendy. This is Sherry Gaba.
Hey, the one at the thing is called Evolve Treatment Centers, and it's our, if you go to our website, evolvetreatment.com, there's a house in Topanga, a beautiful 5-acre facility with equine therapy on site, and it's a residential treatment location.
Okay, great.
Wow. So what was your inspiration for you to create the Evolve Treatment Centers?
You know, I've been in the field for a bit. I'm a clinically trained social worker, and I've done some work for various treatment centers. And I also, you know, having been a teen myself, I saw things that, you know, I was attracted to and things that you know, I wasn't necessarily attracted to. And I came together with some partners and I said, what if I could create a Narnia, if you will, of treatment centers, like a place where you could really look at growth and explore who you are and find a path. And so I was, you know, blessed with the opportunity to put that together in what is now Evolve.
Wow. And why adolescence, Mendy?
It's a bit of a... You know, when you do work and you work with people with issues, it's very rewarding when you can see the results. And with teenagers and young people, you really have a chance to intervene at a time when you can change their lives drastically. They're still figuring out who they are. They haven't, you know, a lot of them haven't yet made as destructive a choice as that they can't go back on. And so you have a chance to intervene and really redirect the course of an entire life and see the results. So, and that's really an amazing thing.
You know, I'm part of the SOBA family in Malibu. We work with adults, and I'm also at LCSW and work in addiction.
Wait, Sherry Gaba?
Gaba.
Oh, we met at the conference, The Breakers.
Oh,
Florida.
Fantastic. Got a lot of people there, so I'm going to look you up to see what you look like, and then I'll remember who you are, Mendy.
You're on my Facebook page.
Oh, uh-oh. Okay, you caught me. So one of the things that I always hear from the kids or young adults is one of the reasons they end up using is because they're bored. Of course, you know, putting aside the disease of addiction and the gene and all of those other factors, I hear a lot about boredom. What do you think is the number one reason that this is such an epidemic?
You know, I definitely think that, let me take it bigger. Boredom is certainly a component of it. Obviously, there's a genetic component, like you mentioned, and there's also obviously the access component, things that are a lot more accessible, especially with
yes.
prescription pills and legalization of marijuana and so on and so forth.
Right.
But one thing that we really do see a lot with adolescents, and we try to hone in on when we offer treatment, is that sort of lack of identity and lack of purpose. Where am I going and what am I doing with my life? You know, I was in an interview last week, there were two interviews I did last week. One of them mentioned, you know, back in the day, we used to cross the United States in covered wagons, fending off the wolves. You know, and so back in the day we were tougher. I said, well, back in the day, you know, maybe we weren't tougher, but when you have to focus on saving your own life, you know, maybe you don't focus as much on other things. And then if you look at the 60s and 70s, there's the draft and so on and so forth. There was certainly every generation looks back and says the previous generation was different. But the point being, in this generation, I think there's less of a focus on getting to a place and having to accomplish something at a younger age. And so you have these kids who are not pushed to do anything in particular and not really in the workforce early, but then all of a sudden there's this expectation that they should know what they're doing and where they're going.
You know, Mendy, I want to jump in here too. Okay, and I am a mother of four, okay, and all teenagers now, actually my two older daughters, but my kids have had their time with different things. And I think it's acceptance with their friends. I think it's depression. And I think maybe not knowing their purpose in life. Do you agree?
I agree exactly. Exactly. One of the first things we do when they arrive at Evolve is we try to hone in on what is your passion? Where do you want to go from here and how are you going to get there? Because we find that when they connect with something that's bigger and greater than themselves, something they believe on, something they believe in and that they have to lose, they don't fall back on bad habits as fast. When they leave, they have something to do. If you want to be, you know, if you want to build skateboards, let's talk about how you're going to get that and what degree do you need and what skateboard shop, what it's going to look like. we help them connect with a tangible dream that helps them move forward.
I love it. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We are The Brighter Side. And right now we're talking about the brighter side of recovery. We're talking with Mandy Barron, and I'm Kim. I'm here with Sherry and Tom. And, you know, Mandy, I think that so many parents, you know, don't want to think that it's their child or that it's their family, because we think, God, was I not a good mom? Did we not do a good job? It's life. I mean, life kind of just takes you by the horns when you're at school, and, you know, and all you have to have is like one bad day, and, you know, another kid brings in, you know, hey, look what I found in my parents' thing, because they didn't have a problem. They weren't thinking that way. We're thinking about just raising our kids, doing, making sure they have enough to eat, making sure our bills are paid, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, we've got a problem with drugs.
So maybe even, Mandy, bring up some of the signs that a parent wants to look for.
Sure. You know, there's a couple things in that regard. Number one, no kid comes with a manual, and a lot of parents have that guilt. But, you know, they show up like, what did I do? What did I miss? The guilt is only going to get in the way of getting things done.
Right.
And there's two parts to really noticing the signs, from my perspective. Number one, is in order to notice the signs, you have to have a relationship. You have to have a connection with your teenager. And that doesn't start when you notice there's pot in their backpack, or they get kicked out of school for bullying somebody, or something happens serious. The time to really establish that relationship is as early as possible. We always encourage families to start the conversation, to set the stage whereby your teen can talk to you. So talk about sports, talk about weather. Set aside time during dinner, for instance, when you turn off your cell phone and talk about their day.
And even even using TV programs, you know, there's so much out there now that, you know, you can, a show like even Weeds, you know,
yeah,
you could sit there with your kid and say, so what do you think about that?
Yeah, get their perspective on life. You know, and yeah. I think that so many people think, you know, a long time ago, you remember, I mean, our grandparents, children are supposed to be seen and not heard. Well, we had to change that in this day and age to say, we want to hear you. We want to hear what you're thinking. Because I think that when they feel like they're invisible, that's actually the part that, you know, they're not going to be a part of our life.
And get them off the internet and the texting and the cell phones. That's something I'd love for you to touch on, Mandy, is how do you handle that piece? Because I think that's a big problem today, too.
Yeah. So to take it one step at a time. Sorry.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions to ask you, don't we?
You guys are great. You have a bunch of really insightful questions, and each one could take an hour. The starting conversation here is exactly correct. You want to set the stage whereby you can communicate, because you don't want to have it where when the issue arises, now you talk about it. Because who's going to want to talk to you about that once the issue blew up? There's shame. There's embarrassment. They don't have a relationship with you. They don't trust you necessarily. So you start young, you start the conversation, you talk about anything so that when something comes up, they know they can talk to you. That's step number one. And like you said, which I'll touch on in a minute, is you do want to make sure that when you're with them, you're disconnecting. I appreciate watching the show and questioning and talking about it, but sometimes watching a show provides distraction for both you not to necessarily communicate. Mm-hmm. And so you really want to start talking about anything, not even drugs. Don't talk about drugs. We're not even there yet. Start the conversation about anything, so that when the time comes to talk about drugs, they know that you can talk to them.
Right.
And then the second thing is, once you have a relationship, then you can start picking up on issues, and then you can start addressing it. To quickly address some of the signs. So now you have a relationship with your kid, and they talk to you, and you kind of know their life, and you're in touch with the school, and you're in touch with their peers, and you have a good feel without being a hovercraft or a helicopter parent. Mm. You have a good feel for what's going on, and now you're going, okay, now that I have a relationship with my child, how do I know if there's an issue? So there's a couple areas that I like to look at. There's five kind of key areas, which I think you can identify many issues. Number one, and Sherry, feel free to kick in here because I know you have experience in this area. Family and social environment, right? If your child was very social and outgoing and engaging in family activities and things are going well, and now they're withdrawing and they're not talking, or, you know, they've cut off a bunch of peers all of a sudden, or you can't get them to open up, there might be something to look at there.
Yeah, they're shutting down, correct?
Correct. And so you've been in touch with them. You have this relationship. You started the conversation. Now you're seeing they're retracting. Red flag. Something to look out for. And none of these things are, you know, this means something's going on in and of itself, but you start to notice patterns. eating and sleeping, right? Teenagers traditionally sleep 12 to 14 hours a day and eat like a horse, right? And now maybe they're not eating as much, or they're having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep or seem anxious. Might be something to look at there. Mood is a big predictor. You know, if they're irritable or anxious or sad or tearful, these are, you know, these are certainly signs of something maybe amiss.
Or anger, too, for sure.
Anger, exactly, exactly. Health, you know, if they're complaining a lot about health concerns when maybe there's nothing really correlated with it. I have a stomach ache, my arm's hurting, my back's hurting.
They're calling out for help.
Correct. Somatic complaints. And a lot of times, you know, mental health issues play themselves out somatically.
Wow.
And anxiety, you know, if he says, my stomach hurts every time I want to go to school, well, why? You know, it could be anxiety and what's going on at school.
Right. Mandy, have you ever had any dealings with drugs? Have you ever, I mean, you know, I know that there's like normies and then there's people that have actually gone through it, right?
Yeah, you've got the terminology down. I would be what's considered by most a normie. I had my struggles with drugs, but drugs weren't my primary struggle.
Okay.
But in the course of my, you know, of my career and the work I've seen just about everything there is to see and dealt with a lot of it. So a lot of what I'm saying comes from just a lot of the experience with these kids.
God, I love it. You know, I would love to talk more with you and find out. But let me ask you, so what is the least amount of time that a kid would go in? And is it all in-home, inpatient, or outpatient?
No, so the levels of care vary, and it really just depends on the, you know, the client's need. We call them clients as opposed to patients because, you know, if you're a patient, it means you're kind of broken or sick and need to be fixed versus a client, you help them work themselves back to what they
need. Okay, that's a positive way.
Yeah, it's a positive spin. But the clients how we see it just depends. If they're a danger to themselves or others, you know, a heavy runaway risk, really seriously abusing or self-harming or very much depressed or have suicidal ideation, they may end up in residential. That's usually the first start. Sometimes they just need a little bit of extra support. You know, a therapist, you know, wasn't once a week isn't enough. They need more of a program. So intensive outpatient might be an option. We offer all levels of care. So we have residential, we have a partial day program, we have intensive outpatient, we have outpatient. It really just depends on the client and what they need.
Wow. Okay. And where do we find out more about you?
EvolveTreatment.com.
Okay. Well, great.
We have to have you back.
Yeah,
you are a wealth of information.
Yeah.
And this community in Ventura and all over the place and suburbs all over, we really need to be talking about adolescents and kids and substance abuse.
Yeah.
I would gladly come back. I'd gladly set up workshops at our locations in Ojai for families. If someone was interested, we could do a bunch of different topics and free for the community.
Mandy, I'm going to call you. I think that's really good. We'll definitely figure out something and get you back on.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mandy, for being a part of the Brighter Side of Recovery, the Kim Pagano Show. And again, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Michelle Weber. And she is a psychotherapist and a life coach with over 25 years of experience. And she's going to find out, we're going to talk to her a little bit about all the things that she does and some of the things that cause roadblocks in our lives, and hopefully she can help us with that. Stay with us. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'd love to give something away really quick, and how about a couple pairs of tickets to Camelot, and that is January 15th through the 18th. That will be over at the theater in Civic Arts Plaza, also in Santa Barbara. So if we can get a couple calls right now, everybody call in at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go?
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
When it comes to gift giving and traditions, Somas Nut House comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your gift giving needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nut House is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nut House, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nut House at 800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right, everyone will be nuts about your gift. Have you always wanted to meditate but weren't sure where to begin? In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a new necessity. Audrey Walzer, director of the Camarillo Yoga Center, has taught hundreds of people in the 805 the fundamentals of non-religious mindfulness meditation, which is scientifically proven to downregulate the stress response. Visit the mindfulness page at www.camarilloyoga.com and listen to what people have to say about Audrey's remarkable 9-week mindfulness course, beginning soon. Make a healthy, balanced life your project for 2015. www.camarilloyoga.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery, the Kim Pagano Show. And our next guest is Michelle Weber. She's a psychotherapist, life coach, and addiction therapist specialist. And I'm so glad that you're joining us, Michelle. Tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to spend this time with you. I have a private practice in Beverly Hills. I'm an LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker. I'm a psychotherapist. I see lots of young adults seem to be flocking to me. I work with adolescents and couples, and I do family therapy, and I run groups, and I am an addiction specialist and a life coach, and I've been doing this for years. I designed a program for pregnant addicts and their babies on the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
One of the first of its kind. And they were in there was such a shortage, may I say, of these programs that I presented to the Connecticut legislature on the importance of gender-separate programs, and the legislation was changed because of my presentation.
Wow, that's a serious thing of babies and, their moms using all the way through their pregnancy.
Yep, yep. Yeah. And I'll tell you a quick story, if I might. I had started the program. I designed it, I directed it, I developed it, I hired the staff. And a probation officer came to me with a young woman, African American, very, very, very difficult, serious problems, very ill, was probably high when I first met her. She didn't look good at all, and she was pregnant. And he asked me, would I please take her into the program, that this was her last chance, otherwise she was going to go to prison and have her baby taken away. And I said, of course. Now, she lived about a half hour away. Her name was Rosie. And I said, okay, I want you to start as soon as possible. And she looked at me with her eyes half closed. I think she was high on heroin at the time. And she said, okay, I'll be back tomorrow. And I said, I don't think you know who you're talking to, honey. I'm not allowing you to go home overnight, get high again, and I don't even know if you'll be back. So it takes you a half an hour to get home. You have a half an hour to get there, a half an hour to pack your things, and a half an hour to come back.
Did she come back?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, the parole officer looked at me and said, I think we found the right place. And when she started camp, she had a terrible attitude. My staff, they were pulling their hair out of their head, and they came to me and they said, we can't work with her. So I sat down with her. Now, I said she was African-American for a reason, and I said, Rosie, I took her hands, I said, what's the problem? And she looked at me and she said, you want me to be white? I said, excuse me? I said, I don't care what color you are. I want you to behave.
Right.
Have, not white, have. And something broke, and she started to laugh, and she became a major part of the program. And we had before and after pictures of all the women that came in.
Michelle, what do you think that the base of all these, you know, since you are an addiction specialist, what do you think the base is for all this behavior in addiction?
I can't, there's not one reason. People either, of course, have inherited alcoholism from their parents or their grandparents. We know that now. I do believe it's a disease. People have peer pressure growing up. People have parents who have abandoned them or not treated them well. There's a myriad of reasons. I've run groups at Promises for many years, and that's a much different class of people. And I had one young man who, this was his 12th time in rehab. I can't mention names. His father was a very well-known musician, was never around.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a big part of it, too.
He would get clean and sober, and then he would slip again.
Hi, Michelle. This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm okay. It's so great to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you, and yours as well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So tell us about your journey in terms of substance abuse.
I will. I'm very happy to share that with you. 34 years ago, at the ripe old age, of 34. Most women in L.A. don't tell their age, but I'm fine to do that. I'm 68. I can't even believe it.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I stopped alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, nicotine, and caffeine, and also, oh, that's a red pill. I'll try that. We were doing uppers in those days. I stopped all of it in 1 week's time, and let me tell you why. I was running programs in Napa Valley for chronically mentally ill. I was the director, and the program was expanding and successful, and I had been out the night before doing cocaine with some friends.
So you were living a double life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Many, many drug addicts do.
Oh, yeah.
And I came in the next day, and my staff was sitting around waiting for me. I had hired the staff. I put the program together. I said, what's going on? And they said, we're waiting for our leader. I said, you mean me? They said, yes, you had a meeting with us 2 hours ago. And I knew at that exact moment I was supporting, I was a single mom, my daughter was 7 at the time, and I knew that if I didn't stop using then and there, I would lose my job and I would probably be in the street. I stopped completely.
That's an amazing story, Michelle. What an inspiration.
Well, I had to make a choice of living or dying.
Wow, that's great. I do want to just remind everybody, whoever's just tuning in with us right now, one, I'm so glad that you are here with us and you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We're talking with Michelle Weber right now. And Michelle, thank you for your honesty. I love that because that really is just all about being authentic, of being who you really are.
When I work with people, especially adolescents who might be using or recovering addicts, I always tell my story, and I find out so quickly how comfortable people become around that, and then they are able, with comfort, to tell me their story.
Mm.
So I'm very open. I am an open book. What you see is what you get, and I am very happy to share my struggles with people who I work with to let them know I get it. I've been there.
You know what I would love to have you do, Michelle? I don't think we've ever done this on the show, is to, what do you think is the difference between substance abuse and actual addiction or alcoholism? Someone that actually abuses different times of their life, but they don't actually become a full-blown addict, alcoholic.
It's a very fine line because there's such a slippery slope. And I'll give you an example. So I'm working with a group of recovering addicts at Promises who say to me, oh, you know, I'm not sure I want to stay clean and sober, so when I leave, you know, I'll drink alcohol occasionally, because that really wasn't my problem. But it's a slippery slope. We always used to define dependence and abuse and use and misuse. But if somebody is using and it's not getting in the way of their functioning, I still would be concerned about what they're doing to themselves medically, okay? If someone is smoking marijuana every single day, we know now, and going to work or going to school, we know now that there are major problems with that, with your perception. We know marijuana fries your brain. We know what alcohol does to your liver. Now, there are people who, you know, the recovering community, they call them normies, because these are people that can go out and have one or two drinks of an evening and come home and be fine. But there are other people. And the other thing I want to say is, when I work with recovering addicts, I ask them, you know, what were their drugs? I don't even ask them what their primary drug was anymore, because people are usually using more than one drug. But most people, 95% of the people that I know and I've worked with, have started with marijuana. I don't know anyone who was using heroin or cocaine or meth that didn't start with marijuana.
And we hear that a lot in the treatment
centers. So they
always
say that it's the bridge to...
It's the gateway drug.
The gateway drug. But a lot of times in treatment, because I'm part of the SOBA family in Malibu, they'll say, okay, some will say, not all, of course, yeah, I think, you know, maybe I'll just smoke pot. You know, I'll give up the heroin or the alcohol, but maybe I'll just smoke pot. I mean, you know, it's, and you know, you got to start where they are, really. You know,
absolutely.
It's, you know, it's all about, okay, well, let's see if that works for you.
How's it working? Right, exactly. You know what? I want to ask you, what is your most rewarding part about what you do?
Oh, I love my work, and you can probably tell. I just love my work. There's a video on my website that I did many years ago, a spontaneous video for a cable TV show. I love connecting with people. I love working with adolescents. I had a couple of adolescents this past year. One of them had tests he was studying for. So I said, well, you're probably going to want to take a break, and I'll see you after your exams. He said, no way. I'm coming. Another young boy I worked with for a year, we finally said goodbye, and he went, you know what I loved about this, Michelle? I said, what, Ricky? He said, we could have intellectual conversations. And I think what it says to me, or I believe what it says to me, is I treat everyone with respect. I treat everyone with warmth. And I'm gracious to people. And I think that there's something about that that helps people feel more comfortable and more
trusted. Feel like they can connect with you, and they feel like they can trust you.
Exactly. And like I said, I'm very transparent. What you see is what you get. Now, you can tell that I'm an East Coast woman. And some people, not my clients, choose me. They come to me specifically. They see my website. They see my video. One young woman took the video to her mom. She was so excited. But there are people who go, whoa, she's so intense and so high energy. And that's fine, because my clients and I work well together. But I also want to say that not every client works with every therapist.
I think they find us, you know, just like relationships find us. I believe clients find us. And, you know, when people go to my website and they see that I am into law of attraction and this and that, they're like, ooh, that's kind of alternative. I think I like that. I think you're absolutely right, Michelle. And it's okay. It's not a one size fits all.
It's kind of a connection, right? You have to feel that connection with somebody. And I think that that's what it's all about. I love it. Michelle, what was your brightest moment that took you into your career?
I grew up with a dad who was a very high-powered politician. I might share with you as well that he was a stand-up comedian and singer, so now I provide therapy to the comedians at the Laugh Factory, the comedy club in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
So when Jamie, the owner, was starting the program, I said to him, my father was a stand-up comedian. I knew his dark side, and I'm a therapist. Of course you're going to want me. And he responded right away, so I'm there two nights a week working with the comedians.
I love that. Wow.
We're at the very top floor, and we're on Groucho Marx's couch.
It's so amazing. Cute. You have such a great personality, Michelle. I love your bubbly, energetic way.
Oh, thank you. And your question, if I can answer it, I grew up with a dad who was a politician, and he always was concerned about folks who were underserved or in need or weren't finding work. And so I started at a very young age volunteering in the inner city over the summer, and I loved it. So my two loves are doing therapy and acting and storytelling. And I just kind of combined them all. When I storytell, I have an amazing story about my first client with HIV and AIDS, and I can make it very short, but it's really important. He wouldn't work with me, little did I know, because he said I was a pushy broad. Me? And I wouldn't work with him. It was 87, because I said he was a sexist pig. Well, it was a match made in heaven. We worked together for a year. We went to different parts of the United States. He called me every Sunday. He was getting very ill. And he, one phone conversation, said to me in a very low voice, "I don't think I can go on anymore." I said, "If you don't want to, you don't have to." And when he died, he made sure before he passed to tell his girlfriend to thank me and how much I had done for him. I changed my license plate to Pushy Broad in his honor. So that's what it says on my car now. And I've had that plate since 88.
Wow.
I know.
You know, I love that you're so close with your clients, and I think you can just really tell that this is truly your passion.
I love it. This and acting and storytelling and working with the comedians.
Do you enjoy life coaching as much as therapy?
Oh, yes, because I combine it. I always take a history. I find out how they grew up, what's their story. Everybody has a story, and their stories are very important. And then as a life coach, I look at the obstacles, what's blocking them. And like Sherry, I'm very involved in the law of attraction. I've been studying at MARC, the Mindful Awareness Research Center at UCLA, for 4 years. So I combine mindfulness with my practice, with my clients, with staff if I'm running programs. I put it all together. I think it's being mindful and meditating as much as you can, maybe at least once a day, really important.
You take the best of everything and combine it together.
Yes. And being mindful to me is being in the present moment without judgment. We've never been taught that. It's very difficult to do. And I work with my clients on getting in touch with themselves and their negative voices, and where do those voices come from, and how can they turn that around? A lot of manifestation, a lot of affirmations. We do a lot of affirmations in therapy.
Well, that's great. Michelle Weber, and where do my listeners find out more details about all the services that you provide and how they can get in touch with you?
Thank you for asking. They go to my website, michelleweber.com, and it's spelled michelleweber.com. They will get my phone number. They will a history of the work I've done, what I'm doing today, and there's a video way at the end under press media.
I love it. Michelle Weber, we're going to have you back again, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery, The Kim Pagano Show. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank
Happy
you, Michelle.
New
Happy
Both
New Year to you, too, and continue doing what you're doing. We appreciate you being
thank
here.
Thank you so much. Take care and be safe.
All right, you too. All right, we are going to take a really quick break, and I would love to give something away. How about the last 5 years, Rubicon Theater? That's January 21st through February 15th, and we've got tickets. All you have to do is call right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. Leave us your name, your number, and one of the team members will get back with you. Our next guest is Karen Strang Allen, and her job is to empower all of us and love yourself and love your life. I love it. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs. When it comes to gift-giving and traditions, Somas Nuthouse comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your gift-giving needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nut House is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nut House, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nut House at 800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right, everyone will be nuts about your gift.
Have you always wanted to meditate but weren't sure where to begin? In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a new necessity. Audrey Walzer, director of the Camarillo Yoga Center, has taught hundreds of people in the 805 the fundamentals of non-religious mindfulness meditation, which is scientifically proven to downregulate the stress response. Visit the mindfulness page at www.camarilloyoga.com and listen to what people have to say about Audrey's remarkable 9-week mindfulness course, beginning soon. Make a healthy, balanced life your project for 2015. www.camarilloyoga.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life. And we're talking about recovery right now, and we're talking about just really the brighter side of everything. Our next guest joining us right now is Karen Strang Allen, and she is all about love yourself and love your life. And Karen, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Kim.
How are you?
Very good.
Good. Thank you for joining us here. And tell us a little bit about yourself and what your journey is.
Well, I call myself now an empowerment expert. I do life coaching and seminars and speaking engagements. My passion is helping women to turn major life challenges into the best thing that ever happened to them. I have come to that place through experience. I've had a number of pretty big life challenges myself.
Can you share some of those with us?
Sure. I guess for me, it began in childhood. I had the challenging situation of going through some emotional abuse in my childhood and left home early at 17 with what I would say was very little self-esteem at the time. And unfortunately, when we have, you know, low self-esteem, it causes us to make choices that aren't in our best interest or to not stand up for ourselves when we need to. And I had to learn from scratch how to do that. You know, I didn't feel valued by my family, so then I had to learn how to value myself.
Wow. And so that's why your, you know, stance in life is love yourself, love your life, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really the key to everything. I mean, when we make... when we end up in relationships or careers that don't suit us, it's, you know, almost inevitably because we're not valuing ourselves enough, because we're not truly loving and appreciating.
So what was maybe, this is Sherry, Karen, I'm wondering what was that pivotal moment when you decided I'm going to definitely change everything?
Well, I would say that it really came in my early 20s. So I met a wonderful man when I was 19. It was a bit of a shock in our community because he was 40, so there was a, you know, 20-year age difference. But he was the love of my life. I mean, it was an amazing relationship, and if you can see past the age, it was really a tremendous relationship. Unfortunately, it wasn't one that was meant to be long-term because we found out literally a month after we got engaged, after we had been seeing each other for about 2.5 years, and a month after he proposed to me, we found out that he was dying of liver cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Well, you know what, though? At least you had that time with him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just not long enough. But I really believe people are in our life to put footprints and different, you know, lessons that we learn from different people.
What was his footprints for you?
It was definitely, I would say, the feeling of unconditional love, the experience of knowing what it feels like to have somebody just truly and completely love you. You know, it was actually kind of ironic because the community I grew up in. I mean, understandably, you can appreciate that when you're, you know, I was just turning 20 and he was 40, so it didn't look good to other people. But ironically, you know, what people feared or thought about him taking advantage of me or that kind of thing wasn't the case at all. He just truly, you know, loved me, and I felt that right away. So after he passed away, I went through a period of a couple years where, you know, I guess you could say the wheels fell off the cart, and I went through 2 years of depression trying to kind of find my way back to myself. But the great gift in having known him was that, you know, every time I was in a relationship after that, I had something, you know, wonderful to compare it to, and I could tell when I was in a relationship that just, I don't want to say the same because I wasn't looking for the same relationship, but something that wasn't the same kind of love. So it has, you know, kind of been the light at the end of the tunnel that's brought me back a number of times when I've faced different difficult circumstances in my life.
I love that. I love the idea that somebody was sort of, I mean, not a mentor. He was obviously a boyfriend and much more, or a fiancé. But I just love the idea that you sort of took the confidence that he sort of gave you and sort of put that
yep.
within yourself. And I mean, some people might say, well, you can't get that from someone else. But I actually believe that unconditional love is pretty amazing.
And it's a gift, and it does give you security. I totally agree with that.
A lot of people yeah, probably call and, I mean, and say they don't agree with that, but I think it can be a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, there's definitely some truth to the fact that until you get to the point to where you believe in yourself, it really helps to have somebody else who believes in you.
No question.
You know, you don't want to ride on the coattails of that forever. You want to be able to internalize it at some point, but it certainly helps to have that.
Right. Now, Karen, I do want to remind everybody that is just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life in Recovering, and that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking with Karen Strang Allen, and she is a co-author of The Unwavering Strength. Now, tell us about, you know, your overall message for your story in Unwavering Strength.
Yeah, so the story I told in that book, I didn't actually tell the story of my first husband because I talk about that in a book that I wrote myself. But so in An Unwavering Strength, I talk about a more recent challenge, which was my mother being diagnosed at a very early age with early onset Alzheimer's. And the experience that my family and I went through in, you know, watching her very quickly decline, you know, starting at the age of 59.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that. Yeah. You know, life happens to all of us. I mean, Sherry, she just lost her father, and our hearts and prayers go out to her. You know, it's all about how we handle it and how we learn and how we, you know, can try to go on and make each day count. So can you give us some tips on how we can turn major life changes into the best thing that ever happened to them?
Absolutely. So I have a process for when you're going through a very challenging circumstances that I like to call, you know, the calmer method. So because often when you're going through a big life challenge, you feel anything but calm. And, you know, your emotions are swirling out of control and you're trying to just, you know, figure out how to get back to your center and to a feeling of being okay. So one of the biggest things I learned through both of these two experiences, and they're actually contrasting experiences, because when my husband died, I didn't know, I was 20 years old, I didn't know anything about how to process your emotions or what to do with them. So I basically tried to repress them, which worked great for about 8 months. And then that's what caused the depression, because I was trying to not admit how painful it was.
Right.
So I think that could have been avoided had I handled things the way I did later on when I knew more with my mom, which was, you know, the biggest thing is to let yourself feel what you're feeling.
That's the biggest lesson that I've learned. And, you know, Sherry, you actually said this.
Well, just have a lot of compassion and just acknowledge what is. And then you can be sad and you can also move forward. You can have both at the same time.
But you said this, a lot of people just try to get to that next spot.
Right. There's just, it's the more disease. It's like, I just want to get over this. But if you don't work through the pain, you can never get over the pain.
Yeah.
Well, it's exactly. It's part of the challenge of our society where we want to be happy 24/7. And that's just not realistic when you're going through a challenge. And you also have people who because other people struggle to see people's pain, they want them to feel better instantly. So, you know, without meaning to be mean or anything, you know, they kind of whitewash it. I remember all kinds of crazy things people said to me when my husband died of, you know, oh, well, you'll find somebody else and you're young, you'll get married again. And like, it's not what you want to hear when you love this side.
Right.
Yeah. So there's, I think there's huge value in people just like realizing that there's nothing wrong with letting yourself feel what you're feeling, with letting yourself acknowledge your sadness, your anger, your, you know, frustration. You don't want to wallow in that place forever. But, you know, for the most part, when people get stuck, it's because they're not acknowledging their feelings. They're resisting them. And it's the resistance to the feelings which make everything more
painful.
What
you resist persists, as they say.
Absolutely.
Oh, I never heard of that. I like that. So what techniques do you use to help your clients?
So just to run quickly through my calmer process, because I think it's an easy acronym for people to remember. So C is just about centering and breathing. Everything starts with breath. When we're upset, we're not breathing very deeply. So it's coming back to your breath, breathing deeply, you know, just centering yourself. I find it helpful to then take a journal. And the A in calmer is acknowledging your feelings. So I find it easier to journal about it. You may do it by talking to somebody else or just thinking about it, but I find when I journal it, it kind of gets it out of me so that it's not stuck inside me. So I'll write down whatever it is I feel, no matter how ugly it looks, just to get it all out. And then the L is to look for positives. So even when you're going through something as awful as the death of your husband or watching your mother slip away with Alzheimer's, there are always gifts in those challenges. There's always something that you can be grateful for. Sometimes it's just as simple as seeing how many friends and family come together for you to support you.
Absolutely.
In every one of these, and it's not always easy to see in the moment. I find it's easier to see later. But if you start looking for it right away, it's what can help you pull yourself out and shift into a more positive feeling, you know, more quickly. The M is to just make a decision to feel better. And I say this after a period of grieving in particular, if you've experienced a death, I don't think you should expect yourself to feel better the day after the funeral. I don't think that's realistic. But just making a decision that I will feel better and I'll get to that place, and it may take me a few weeks, a few months, whatever it takes. But I will get there.
So, Karen, this is our Brighter Side of Recovery Hour. And I'm wondering, although I'm sure, you know, you work with people dealing with all kinds of issues, career, possibly relationships, maybe even recovery. What would you say to someone who is newly sober, starting their life again, and they've decided, you know, I got that down. I got the spiritual piece down. I know what I need to do to stay sober, but I don't know what my purpose is. What might you say to someone like that?
One of the most interesting things somebody ever said to me about purpose was the thing that you most wanted in your life, and usually and particularly in your childhood, the thing that you wished most somebody would have given to you, that's your gift to the world.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. The thing,
which is part of why I focus on empowerment. It's something I didn't have. I didn't have a family who told me I could be anything, do anything, that I was special, that I was awesome. So I had to develop that for myself.
And how did you develop it?
15 years of reading a lot of self-help books, attending seminars by, you know, some of the most amazing coaches and leaders out there. I've studied for a long time. And then everything I would study, I would put into practice and try it out.
You kind of remind me of a guest that we had earlier on in another show about using something that happened to us that might have been negative and turning it into something bright, turning it into something that empowers us, like you say, turning it into changing a perspective.
Absolutely. I do think that our biggest challenges end up being our biggest gifts when we can, you know, look at it that way. I talk about this in the Unwavering Strength chapter that I wrote. In Japanese culture, when pottery gets broken, they don't throw it out. They actually glue it back together with gold. And the gold actually illuminates the damage, because it's thought in Japanese culture that broken pottery is more beautiful and valuable because it's been broken and then it's been made stronger. And now it has a history.
You know, I love that. You know, in the Jewish religion, they give you sort of a broken cloth or a torn cloth.
Right.
And the idea, and I didn't really know this, is that your heart is torn. But, you know, that also makes you stronger, is really what you're saying.
Wow. And, you know, I think you're so right. I just read something this morning about a lot of, I mean, just as a construction or a contractor, you actually have to kind of demo everything out and really start all over. You would never build on something that wasn't stable. And so many times we have to really clear all the negatives out and kind of start our foundation all over again. And then it's so much stronger.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
God. Karen, you know, leave us with a couple tips that you can really help us and our listeners.
Well, the first one sounds so trite and everybody talks about it, but honestly, it's the biggest one. It's the fastest one. It's the, you know, if you just start every single day by journaling about what you're grateful for, and you start by journaling what you're already grateful for, what's already great in your life, and then you finish your list with the things that you're grateful for that are going to happen that day, that one process, which is combining gratitude for what exists and gratitude for what will come, it's probably the most powerful thing that I do. And the more consistently you do it, the more you will see changes in your life.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
We always...
So I know people talk about it, but the unfortunate thing is everybody nods their head and then nobody does it. So it's very, very key.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the other thing is to appreciate that human existence, human life, isn't meant to be happy 100% of the time, or, you know, we have an expectation that we know we're not going to have any road bumps, but the road bumps do come, and the key is to realize that those road bumps allow us to appreciate our life that much more. I think we all know when we've gone through a challenging circumstance that it really allows us to appreciate, you know, what is good in our life. So, for example, if you have an illness, then when you get back to health, you appreciate it that much more.
I love it. Karen, you just nailed it, and I appreciate you being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. We're actually at the end of our show. What a great show. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sherry. And, of course, we always end our show. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I'll talk to you later.